All right, Gary, what are we playing this week?
Well, Cole, it's been hundreds and hundreds, or just literal hundreds of episodes of this.
Yes.
And as we mentioned before, some randomizations get reused.
Hobbs.
It just happens. I was going back through our old catalog of everything we do, not just Abject Suffering, to kind of get ideas. And I was listening to our old episodes, Watch Out for Fireballs on Metal Gear.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, I had this whole thing planned for us because I was going to get out my set of dice here and roll the special one, which was the fox die, and then see if it would, write some games on each face of it. And then we would choose a game. And then that would be it. It would be like a randomization for
Okay.
it. But not only do these randomizations, like the fact that these just become more arcane ways of revealing knowledge, that makes sense because fewer of the games we do are actually random now. Very few of them actually are, now, like half or less. But also I was thinking we get a little in the weeds. So I took this fox die and put it away, and I started thinking holistically about the concept of a die. You
Okay.
know? Like a dice. Like just here's this little cube that represents, possibility and chaos. The unpredictability of the world, things like that.
Okay.
I'm stoned, and
I'm stoned in describing the plot of a late era Community episode. Continue.
then I just thought, fox, because I'm sitting there and I'm all hopped up on edibles. I'm like looking at this dice. I'm like, a die, man, like fox die, fox. Fox. And then I put that into Mobi Games and got Fox Hunt.
Oh, okay.
So it was a whole journey. I was in the hospital for 2 days.
Okay, cool. You know what I like about that one, Gary? I didn't have to do any sound editing.
I try to edit these like I'm gonna or come up with them like I'm editing them,
Except for
which
that
is
one where you maybe put all those animal noises in.
you can just search like zoo.wave and then just cut out the guy moaning and dying.
We need to get into this because,
Oh, yeah.
boy, this is something else.
We have a half hour and we have to encompass this entire game.
Yeah.
I'm Gary Butterfield.
I'm Cole Ross.
It's Abject Suffering, where you play bad games, so you don't have to.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, I mean, before we get to this, before we get to why are you doing this, all that stuff, we left off the last episode on a cliffhanger,
We did.
if you
So
recall.
the end of last episode, if you tuned away, Gary, thinking that it might
It
entice
saw
people
that
to
tweet.
listen.
Yep.
Gary saw a tweet and said, "Hey, I've got a digression that I'm going to save for the next episode. If you want to hear me describe a tweet, listen to the next episode."
And people love content that's just like describing tweets.
Right. So usually we save the digressions for when something prompts it. But yeah, let's do it. Let's give them what they want.
It's true. Sometimes we do save it, but sometimes something happens. And this is, this isn't gonna cause like a major digression. It just, I was genuinely shocked when I saw this. So somebody on Twitter here, this Hello Taylor person, just tweeted that this bathroom on this train. Before the button to lock the door, before you can press it to lock the door and use the bathroom, it forces you to listen to a 30-second advertisement for Daddy's Home 2.
No.
Isn't that insidious?
So you have to pee your poop or whatever. You're on a train, so it's
Yep.
already uncomfortable.
Already terrible.
You have 30 seconds is forever.
And,
30
how.
seconds is never ended. We started doing this
Yeah.
show. Not this episode, this sh we started doing this
The phone.
show 30
Yeah.
seconds ago.
Yeah. And you have to, like, before you can close the, like, the simplest of dignities, like the most elemental. Thing.
The ability to take your repose in privacy, right?
Boy.
Whew.
That is something. Like,
hey Gary, what's Daddy's Home?
Oh, man, you don't know what Daddy's Home is. Daddy's Home is a movie with Mark Wahlberg and Will Ferrell. And the second one is the vehicle, apparently, like, we've somehow decided to forgive Mel Gibson. So it is his big high profile movie as kind of a cantankerous, like, jerk, is my understanding, like, not playing too far off, his classic catchphrase. I hope a gang of, you know, racial slurs, sexually assault you.
Yeah.
The classic catchphrase that we somehow decided Mel Gibson is okay.
Yeah. No, that's not okay.
Yeah. And he's back now, baby. if you want to shit on this train, you have to listen to an advertisement to try to get you to go support him. Sometimes, buddy. Like, I don't understand how we are.
Yeah.
You know?
So I go back and forth on the whole, oh, this is the dumbest timeline, this is the worst timeline, anything like that. Like, oh, we live in the worst of all possible realities. Obviously, Voltaire was being satirical when he wrote that we were in the best of all ones, or was that, I forget who wrote that.
That happens in Candide.
Yeah, there we go. Obviously that was satire. But something like that, it's like, man, we permit an awful lot of just asinine shit to happen on our watch.
We've given up so much ground just as a dignified creature. Like, I sometimes just want to go to the top of a mountain and scream, like, I'm fucking sentient. Mm-hmm. Like, why do I have to deal with, like, I should have a lot more agency than this and a lot more dignity just as somebody who is capable of miracles. And I'm not alone. There are billions of us.
Uh-huh.
And we still have to listen to an advertisement for Daddy's Home too before we shit on a train.
Yeah, because two people shook hands to sell my attention.
Yeah. Wow, is it? It's just amazing.
Yeah, no, that is
what a time to be alive, like, whew, in all of the worst possible ways.
Yeah, no, that's unacceptable. Is that tweet getting a lot of attention, or is it just people like us who were grousing about marketing anyway?
I don't know. It was retweeted by Chris Franklin, aka Campster, the YouTube essayist of high quality and renown. Mm-hmm. But, who knows where it's at in its tweet life cycle.
Daddy's Home. Here's Mel.
Yeah. Here's a monster. Here's a monster. Go see the movie with the monster in it.
Why are you
Pacific Rim 2? Let's get Yagen. No. I mean, Daddy's Home too.
Why are you doing this to us?
Yeah, it is just, and it's already like, you've used the bathroom on a train before, right?
No.
It's not great.
Well, I mean, I imagine, like, it's a little bit like an airplane bathroom.
It's like in my experience, the metro train that goes between DeKalb, Illinois and Chicago, it's a little bit more generous space-wise than an airplane bathroom, which, like, I will go to great lengths to not use an airplane bathroom if I can. Like, it is too small and cramped and unpleasant.
Right.
And then, like, other people are in line behind you, so you have to, like, literally squeeze by somebody and touch them. And it's like, I just made, you know, it's a little bit better than that, except for the motion. Like, on an airplane, like, there are times you can kind of fool yourself into, like, feeling like you're not really moving.
Mm-hmm.
On a train, you always feel like you're moving.
Well, there's like a constant sway happening almost.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And, like, trying to piss or shit during that sway is very difficult for me.
Yeah. Yeah, no, most of the trains that I've ever ridden, like, I rode the Long Island Express one time, but I didn't have to use the restroom during that. Most of the trains I've ever ridden have been, like, metro trains.
Mm.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's the worst.
Yeah.
I'm happy that you shared that with me, although I'm very sad about everything else.
Yeah, it makes existing seem bad. So.
Yeah. Let's talk about this video game. And let me put the emphases right. This video game.
Yeah, this isn't a real game. Did you know about this? Did you know this existed?
So I knew about it, but only because this is a pretty frequently requested game.
Mm.
So this is demand. This was demanded by Max Cohen, who says, the first FMV game I ever played. All I remember is a Keanu Reeves lookalike getting into a fight with a masked wrestler and dying over and over again. It haunts me.
That does happen.
Yeah.
That was my experience more or less as well.
It was also recommended by Asa and by Niall. I knew about it as one of the many FMV games of notoriety from around this time, from the time period between like 1993 and 1996. But I had no idea. Like, I never watched it until, yeah, I never watched anything about it. So I figured it would be like somewhat straight laced. No, it is not.
No, it is a comedy game, of a sort. Like, it is like, I think that the comedy in this game, or like the special part of it, comes from whoever this main character is.
Yeah.
And he's just like really over the top acting.
Yeah.
In this, as just a quiet weirdo. Like, just like the beginning parts of this, when you're just kind of farting around your apartment, are a really good simulation of being a weirdo who's unemployed. And like talking to yourself a lot, and just, you know, making little jokes for yourself and making dumb expressions and dancing for a second and just doop 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 doo, you know, like
the way that he moves, the way that he talks, and the way he decides to go into like comedy routines with his fish. It's like he's being, so I know we always reference the Vincent D'Onofrio alien from Men in Black. Mm-hmm. You know, bring me some water, put some sugar in it. So picture the way that guy moves, the way he kind of talks, but instead of being like a like an outer space bug monster, it's an alien who's only real.
He's only seen Earth Girls Are Easy.
He's only seen Earth Girls Are Easy, interspliced with some scenes from the movie Step Brothers.
Yeah.
Like, that's what we're working with here.
It's a person operating his body like a car he stole.
Yeah, he stole it. He didn't realize, oh shit, I don't know how to drive stick. Fuck, I'm stalling.
Yeah. It's very weird. And it just, somebody just off camera just yelling, emote, 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 keep emoting, emote, emote. Like, I'm watching. So the idea here, the other thing too, is like, this actually is a huge detriment of it being FMV. Largely because the audio is so compressed that I had a really hard time understanding the speech.
Right.
The intro to this is incomprehensible. Like, I couldn't understand a word this accented Soviet guy says.
Yeah. It is incredibly compressed, so you're missing a lot of information, but it's also very, very poorly mixed. So every every voice is given the same prominence as whatever background sound is happening at the time.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like that's a problem that the Underworld films have as well.
Yeah. I mean, terrible mixing is like a ubiquitous thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the concept behind this is that, and I picked up a little bit, the villain of it has some kind of scheme where he's been hiding in a TV show, or has like information hidden in TV shows. And then this guy is a TV expert, so he has to watch all these like parodies of shows. You know, like, they're not parodies in this game world, they're real,
right?
But to get information because he gets recruited by the FBI. That's like somewhat on the right track, right?
Yeah, something like that. So it's a little bit confusing because the guy talks about, oh, his plot, he's a Soviet mole who is sent over to demoralize the American, to demoralize every American by putting out television shows that are way too dumb, except we did it ourselves. Like, oh, our shows were dumb anyway, so we decided to start acting in a bunch of stuff, and he was really upset because he was never credited. So he decided to enact this terrorist plot, and it is up to this television expert to go out into the real world and find this guy who has never been credited but could be recognized from these different television shows.
Yes.
So
it's like that movie, like, Click. Or not Click. God, that one with John Ritter where he's a demon.
Oh, Stay Tuned, yeah.
Stay Tuned. It's like, it feels a little bit like that, in that like a large portion of this is just really, really shitty. Like, if me and my friends decided to do parodies of TV shows that nobody our age has heard of.
Yeah.
You know,
such as I made a note of this, a parody of a parody of Fantasy Island called Fantastic Isthmus.
Yeah. Where it's a guy on his knees pretending to be, you know, the tiny little person.
Yeah, he's Dorf on golfing it. Yeah.
Yeah. He's Dorf in it. But there's no jokes in that segment. It's just like, what if there is, you know, remember Fantasy Island?
Yeah. My favorite thing about that segment was like, and coming up next, a Brian Dennehy film festival.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of, I mean, it's kind of a joke. Brian Dennehy's a funny thing.
Yeah, like, you can make jokes with Brian Dennehy.
Yeah.
Right? Like, there's like, I mean, There's in an early Patton Oswalt special. Mm-hmm. He tells that joke about running into Brian Dennehy at the Hollywood party, where like they're at both at the food bar, and Brian Dennehy goes, "Character actors, nobody cares if we get fat." Just like a great thing for Brian Dennehy to say. Yeah. You know, who knows if it's true or if it's the construction of a joke or whatever. Right, but like Brian Dennehy is potential to be or juice up a punchline.
Mm-hmm.
That is not, I feel like, what's happening here.
Yeah.
Before that, they have like the guy who it's like the Kung Fu parody with the guy who tickles Appalachians.
Yeah.
Is the Appalachian on the left? Is that the one guy from like, the Coen Brothers actor from Hey Brother, Where Art Thou?
Hey Brother, Where Art Thou?
Wait, do you know who I'm talking about?
No, I don't know.
There's the gangly about. Fella who's one of the, like a Coen Brothers staple.
Yeah. I don't know.
I think it looks like him. I couldn't find him on the IMDb entry, but I'm pretty sure it's him.
Mm-hmm.
Which is kind of weird to see him in that, but like, it's just, you know, what if there was a guy who like tickled and slapped a bunch of rednecks? One of them like takes a shit in his hat, you know, okay, he's watching it on an iPad. Like that's pretty much the joke. The weirdest thing about this though, too, is that every time you go, you like change, it's in first person kinda. And whenever you look at something, you get a half second little video of you turning your head or entire body
in that direction.
To look at the thing, I spent so much of this game in the beginning of it just like going back and forth between him and his computer because I couldn't figure out like what was going on. Yep. It just kept flashing between the two.
Yeah. So the overall effect is that it's a little bit like a like tank controls almost. You are rotating your attention, but you are seeing him actually like sometimes, like you said, bodily rotate himself, hip and shoulder and all, just basically
and making the dumbest face. Like yeah. imagine you're auditioning to play Jim Carrey.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in a movie.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I'm not down for it at all.
No.
And so like they really sell that he's on hard times, but I can't tell if he's on hard times or if he has difficulties, let's say, because if you inspect the refrigerator, he doesn't just say like, oh, it's empty. He starts attacking it, like just like, you know, just wailing on the thing saying, I'm hungry.
Yeah, he's unemployed. And that's the motivation.
Right. He has no money.
No money.
And the CIA is leveraging him. They say, we're going to give you $100,000. He says, no way. Then they say, we'll give you $500 in advance. And he says, all right, you got me.
Yeah.
So doesn't have an awful lot of sense. It's just, what if there was an idiot?
Yeah. What if there's an idiot who liked TV? He has, for when this came out, like that weird iPad book full of movies and stuff.
Right. Well, then he goes to the bar and plays Destiny.
Yep.
Yep, he fires it up. He doesn't really like it, but he talks about it a lot.
Yeah,
no, it's like television trivia.
Yeah, and before even that though, you have to do that thing where you get in the fight with his high school buddy who is a fat superhero now, and that's the point at which I like checked out and I was like, oh, this isn't gonna be okay. Like this is too dumb for me.
Yeah,
I gotta go.
This is Plumbers Don't Wear Ties level of bullshit that's happening here. Yeah, that fat guy, like in my notes here, Kyle Gass playing Fat Freddy breaks into my apartment through the window.
Yep.
And I guess this is teaching you the combat, but because of the FMV delay, there really isn't that much to tell you whether you're succeeding or failing.
No, the combat is extremely bad in this.
Yeah.
Which should surprise no one. You know. Yeah. And this is actually something to point out, I guess, too. Or go ahead. You know, you're goofing. Something came up.
No, I was just gonna ask you. Did you get to the point where the CIA guys kidnap you by in broad daylight in the middle of this bar, just taking out a wackily huge syringe and plunging it into your neck, and then as he falls over, they say this guy can't hold his booze.
Yeah, I did get to that.
That's pretty funny. Sorry,
pretty funny.
I got here. I'm watching in the background.
No, I did get that. That is pretty funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, to be fair, I did forget what I was gonna say.
Okay, wow, say. Fuck, I'm sorry.
It's okay. No worries.
It sounded like you were gonna question whether or not something was okay,
or whether like so no, it wasn't that it was okay. It's that this is considered to be pretty good.
Yeah, I was surprised at the reception. So Wikipedia, who knows how true any of that is? Like the actual reviews pages, like if you look at pro reviews, people are like, "Wow, this is the way you do FMV games."
Yeah, like this is it. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Have you played that cockroach game?
Oh, true. Yep. Have you played Bad Mojo?
There are a lot of different ways to do this.
Right. I think this one got a lot of attention because it did have a little bit of star power in it. You had George Lazenby. You had, credited with a special appearance, one Mr. Rob Lowe.
Yep. At his lowest point, like pre-Renaissance.
Right.
Rob Lowe.
Yeah. Like post-Brat Pack, pre-Parks and Rec.
Yep. Like during the rehab years.
Yes.
Like.
Yeah. I didn't get to Rob Lowe. George Lazenby is kind of floating around there. I love this quote from Wikipedia. George Lazenby commented on the shooting schedule. Actors need a lot of flexibility since scenes are shot so quickly and you instantly go from being good to being evil. As Bond, and how many times a day do you think that George Lazenby says, as Bond? as Bond, and on Her Majesty's Secret Service, I once waited 3 days while the crew prepared to film a single scene. On Fox Hunt, we do a new scene every hour. It's the way movies should be made. That's right. Movies should be made to be as convenient as possible for the actors.
Yep. Yeah, and done as quickly and cheaply as possible, even though this did have a budget of $2 million.
That's ridiculous.
I hate that. Like, it's just, I just think about, like, man, like, $2 million.
Yeah.
I wouldn't do with $2 million. I'll tell you what, I wouldn't make Fox Hunt.
Also, if I was Capcom, I wouldn't publish this.
No. No, it is just, like, it was the style at the time. Yeah. And Capcom, you know, trying to get a little bit of that nugget.
Wanted a slice of that pie.
Yeah. And it is a pie.
It is a pie.
It was a pie. Like, every once in a while when we play something like this, part of me thinks, like, you know, I think FMV games are consistently funny enough to where if we weren't drowning in projects and hadn't come up with, like, our stable of shows, like, just going through FMV games would be very funny.
It'd be a good video show.
Like, it would be a great video show.
Yeah.
Like, somebody should do that. But it should be us because we're funny. Mm-hmm. It shouldn't be somebody on YouTube who would do that. Like, I don't want some screamer.
No.
You know, there probably are people who do it, but they're just yellers, you know?
Yeah. Oh, it definitely is. Like, they're like, when you search for this has made the rounds on a lot of,
it's a Markiplier FMB special.
Right. It goes around on all the FMB related channels.
Yeah. Something I wonder what the game grumps have to say.
Right.
Somebody on the message board. Hey, who looked this up because of Gord?
yeah, how long has it been since I thought of Gord?
Who's Gord? What's Gord?
Gord was, so he wasn't,
there's an answer for this?
Yes, so the there is an answer. It's a little bit like an old man Murray style thing. He was a guy who wrote a website, often with stories about how he ran this independent used game store or whatever, and it was like wacky tales from a guy who runs a used game store. I really owned this noob who said something wrong about this particular thing. Gord is a minor footnote in the history of Something Awful because he was one of those people who walked in saying, I'm a big name. I have a big website. People are going to love me. And then, like, somebody, you know, to get his goat said, I could totally beat you at StarCraft. And that is where the I'm in your base killing your dudes meme came from.
Oh,
yeah.
Fascinating. I had no idea.
That's Gord.
I assumed it was just like a Tim and Eric acronym. Like, I thought it was some kind of AI or like something
like that. Has Gord compelled you to look this up? Yeah,
like I just kind of thought it might be a program. And then when I put Gord in Google, I got, what is Gord? Gastroesophageal reflux disease. I was like, okay. Like, I don't think if Gord, if what does this guy look this up because he had a case of Gord? Like, his gastroesophageal reflux disease, like, I'm up late at night, can't sleep. Fox Hunt. No, like, Gord's got me by the gonads.
Gord's nads.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can Gord be cured? Like, Gord diet. Like, if I think of this as a guy, all these things are very funny. Coffee Gord, Gord complications, Gord treatment, Gord diet.
Yeah, so if you watch this on YouTube, which that's the way you ought to do it, at least go and see this main actor who kind of has gone on to be just like, he was on Mad TV and he's just like a bit character in a bunch of stuff. He did some voice acting in games, like he was I have this written down here, was character in Saints Row 4 like Night Strike or whatever, like the fake superhero they have. I forget what I was gonna say. So like, look up the YouTube videos so you can see exactly how this goes. It definitely has the like poor stitching problem that FMV games have as they load everything up between actions, things like that. Very bad green screens are what I'm seeing here. Wouldn't recommend playing it. If you decide, hey, I'd like to see what this would be like if they edited this together into a feature film, guess what? You could probably do that. Because if you went over to Europe, Dreadnought Films producers were so impressed by Andrew Bowen's performance that the footage was used and the footage used in Fox Hunt was recut and released as a movie. But yeah, it's only available in certain parts of Europe. So you like, if you say Fox Hunt somewhere, people might think, oh, that movie, that was a weird movie, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. Or they just think about hunting foxes.
Right. Yeah.
The original Fox Hunt.
Yes. Analog Fox Hunt. Crazier. Did you go to the IMDb page for this?
I did, but I didn't find anything. So I must've missed whatever you're pivoting towards.
So if you go to the IMDb page for the movie version of this,
that's what I missed.
There we go. You can go down, there are user reviews, 10 stars. And then the title is Why Not Available. This was done in January of 2008. I'm the producer of both the video game and movie Fox Hunt. It was the first ever movie actually created using footage from an interactive game, although we shot some additional footage to complete the movie. Unfortunately, the movie was not released in the United States due to some rights issues. It was shot under SAG Interactive contract, and we reached a compromise that allowed for the movie to be sold internationally. As the producers, we still hold the internet rights, so if there was ever enough interest, we could also release it there. He's fishing. He's trying to get people excited. He was 5 years too early for Kickstarter.
That's really incredible.
Yeah.
And he gave himself the review.
He gave himself a 10 star review with his AOL.com email address. So we could email this guy, and it is the only review he's ever written.
Oh man. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
I love it. What I also love is that there's a Kotaku article about this that is not particularly funny or anything. It's just kind of like, what is, you know, here's an oddity. But it links to this guy, Adidas 1984X, who has a YouTube channel where his premiere thing is him showing off his Fox Hunt game collection. It is his favorite game.
How can you collect one game?
Well, you collect over 3 copies of it. Can you believe this man has over 3 copies of Fox Hunt? No, he doesn't. He has over 2, and he talks about the 4th one. He has 2 copies of the game and the soundtrack.
Yep.
On his bed, he's got a bed with like what look like little marijuana leaves all over it.
Uh-huh.
He's kind of like doing the bro low voice, you know, like there's my collection of Fox Hunt. It's my favorite game. You know, talking about he can't get the international version, just showing off his different Fox Hunts.
Yeah, well, he's got 2 copies of each. One is sealed, the other is never been touched. Wait, never been opened.
Never been kissed.
One of them has
never been kissed. it's a little side thing. It's a guidance story.
Yep. Well, one of them is just 3 discs in one of those Funko Land / GameStop cardboard sleeves with the window in the front. Yeah.
Even though I have to say, I got such an immediate rush of nostalgia when I saw that, thinking about when Funko Land and GameStop sold PC games.
Oh yeah.
That was the fucking best, dude.
Yeah.
Like you go in the back and it'd be like, you know, $4, and that's how you like got like Betrayal at Krondor and like a bunch of pretty good weird old PC games.
Mm-hmm.
Through that. It was awesome. Like it was always super cheap. You know, and it was all disorganized. It was just like this big junk pile.
Yeah. That went on way longer than you think it would. Up until the time GameStop bought them, EB Games sold used PC games. Well into the era when everything should have been keyed away.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like
that's where a lot of them we would get. Like we would go to, in my town, we had a GameStop and an EB. We go to EB because of the PC games. And now it's just 2 GameStops across the street from each other.
Ugh.
And then one of them shut down and became a cell phone store. And the GameStop is a Think Geek nightmare zone.
Oh yeah.
Like it's like that company's gotten, you know, has been purchased by one of those game companies has been purchased by Think Geek. So it is just wall to wall Funko Pops inside.
Yeah. It's a little bit ridiculous. Yeah, I don't care for that. It's like it is all Think Geek stuff and cell phone accessories now.
Yeah. What I do care for is Adidas 1984X's three playlists that he has on his main page here.
Oh, okay, so like a way that he like categorizes his output. Yeah.
Yeah. His output or just videos he likes. I'm looking at his videos and they're all camcorder shots of Mortal Kombat. which makes sense because one of this first category, Mortal Kombat making, where he's compiled a playlist of behind the scenes of Mortal Kombat. Dude loves Mortal Kombat.
Gary, why did you get reverb there for a second?
I hit one of the button, the videos, and it started playing the Mortal Kombat gong.
Okay.
Was it that one? I thought I was hoping it would time out right.
Yeah. It really sounded like you had reverb on your voice. That's good. So Mortal Kombat making is really interested in the art and or science of Mortal Kombat.
Yes. Second category, girls.
Oh,
here's a playlist he's put together. Hot female bodybuilders motivation, Mortal Kombat cosplay, Jade and Melina, hot girls of Tekken, very hot Namco live girls dancing 2005 E3, girls of E3 2006, Mortal Kombat cosplay photo shooting, Saramax.ru.
But body paint, Jade, Mortal Kombat.
Yeah. So, okay. He's still a little Mortal Kombat.
Does he give a little, like, I know you can put descriptions on these. Does he give a little bit more like context for what this playlist is for?
Yeah. The description just reads girls.
Oh,
so the playlist is named girls. Description, girls.
Okay. So that's two of them. That's two.
Yep. His third thing he categorizes as cars. Now, undercase, the description is cars.
Okay.
My 99 boosted Civic Psi at the track, Prelude exhaust, Civic Turbo, 2000 Civic C-Reb, Getty Evo 2 exhaust, Civic Tribute 2, Amazing Sound S10 exhaust, 99 preload turbo launch drive on board. And those are this guy's playlists.
Yeah. So,
and he's the world's foremost collector of Fox Hunt. Has over two copies.
It's his very favorite game, even though his entire channel is dedicated to Mortal Kombat.
His videos, it was camcorder videos he's made of his TV screen playing like mid to late Mortal Kombat's. Like,
oh, there's definitely there's a lot of Quan Chi in here.
Yeah. Yep. Here's him test driving a Lexus.
What's this? Yeah. I don't know. Area 50. What in the world? This guy, he has a video series about restoring an Area 51 cabinet. You know, that cabinet that like is literally everywhere.
Is this the Dude's Night 2017? Here's some gameplay of me and Steve in my man cave. He's got all his broken Killer Instinct and his broken Area 51 cabinet. This is like getting me depressed, right?
Oh man, his most recent activity is 3 days ago.
He's active.
Yeah.
Sega Dreamcast demo and Half-Life game. Well, that's interesting game history wise.
Yeah,
we're not so different, you and I.
We can find common cause. Although it should be a little bit alarming that your videos from 8 years ago look like your videos from 8 days ago.
That's 100% true.
Just going to give you that note.
Man, look at the games he's restoring. So he was restoring Area 51. He's restoring Maximum Force. Like, who needs to restore a fucking Maximum Force? You can't buy like a version of Maximum Force that works. Prank call to salesman.
So you want to be a wrestler?
Yeah, I've been trying it out. It's just some backyard stuff right now, but that's about it.
I wish I was with you last
time. Ugh. He also has, that's not worth, like, I mean, people can find that for more. It is very hard to understand.
Yeah.
For you that make bad audio. He has some stuff of his dog, which I appreciate.
Yeah.
There's dog smiling, an official guilty dog.
Wait, so dog smiling caught my eye. Oh, look at that dog. He's so good.
He's a good dog. Let me check out official guilty dog.
Yeah, official guilty dog. I cannot let that go unwatched.
Oh man, he's got a little welcome mat that looks like a little marijuana leaves as well.
Oh, he's definitely got an issue.
Dude's on brand. I'm subscribing.
Yeah.
Look at leave that. Alone.
Oh, look, he's all hunched over.
I know.
You know that you're not allowed on the couch.
Oh, justice for Guilty Dog. This made me pretty upset. We gotta go.
Oh, he's like, he won't get off of the he won't get off of the welcome mat. He likes the weed.
I'm very into Guilty Dog.
Yeah,
Guilty Dog is my probably my fifth favorite thing about that guy.
How perfect is it that dogs, I think dogs might be the only animal that I know of that actually, like, you can tell when they feel guilty. Like, you know that they know they did something wrong. I've never seen a cat evince anything like, oh, I got caught.
The I think I've read before that, like, the dogs, like most things we attribute to animals are fictions. Like, I don't really buy into that as a pet owner, but like
as we anthropomorphize them.
Yeah. And like what dogs are doing then is reacting to your body language.
Oh, so they're like stuff. They're like, oh, dang it, you fucked up, and they think they're in danger because you're angry.
Yeah, or just the, you know, the alpha of the pack is unhappy with them.
Right.
You know, they can tell, like, they don't really know what, they don't connect it to what they did.
There's no cause and effect.
Yeah, it's why like rubbing their nose in their shit doesn't do anything.
Right.
Because they don't understand it. They just know that you're mad and you're rubbing their nose at shit.
Yeah.
Like, it's a very sad thing to punish a pet.
Right.
You know, like, they don't understand it, and it's just, it doesn't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so which I believe.
Yeah.
Like, I believe that part of it, but I believe in whatever way favors the animal,
mm-hmm.
and results in less guilty dog. Yeah. So like this fox hunt enthusiast and his wife, like, they have this like smiling dog who they punish all the time. They have parties in their man cave. Like, we're getting a complete story of this gentleman.
Wow. Prank all to salesman.
We have to wrap this up.
We do.
Where do you want to put this guy on the forces of good or evil?
Oh, man. It's been a while since we've had something on a force for good, I think.
Do we want this guy on a force for good?
I don't know.
How we put Guilty Dog on the force for good and the guy on the force for evil?
Yeah. So what I'm thinking is, he's able to, like he restores arcade cabinets, so he has a little bit of like a mechanical skill. Like, it'd be real probationary if you let him on. Like, that's the only reason I'm not saying, like...
Like a mercenary?
Yeah. Like, he would be our, like, what's that shitty X-Man? He'd be our Forge.
He could be our Forge.
Yeah. But, like, Forge. a real probationary Forge.
I would give him probationary Forge status.
Yeah.
But only on the condition that he stops yelling at Guilty Dog. And he divorces his wife, who yelled at Guilty Dog. His wife not invited.
Scorched earth.
Yep, scorched earth. Like, listen, the only thing you have to do is give up your man cave, give up your wife, give us your dog, and then we will pay you in a rare international copy of Fox Hunt that I will buy from eBay for like $1.79 at max.
Gary, I think that it's been a while since we've done Force for Good, Force for Evil. I think that you've turned the battle at the end of the world into some kind of Project Mayhem style thing where we strip everybody of their basic essence.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, cool. I just want to make sure, like, we didn't talk about that. Like, I'm, you know me, I go along, get along. Okay. Yeah.
If you like this show,
can they do? Well, you can go to patreon.com/duckfeedtv and check out the rewards there. The $5 a month right now gets you access to 2 extra episodes of this show per month, which is a lot. That is half again as many as you usually get. This particular episode, this game, was again demanded by Patreon backer Max, and also submitted by a few other people. You have the ability to do that as well. At a higher tier. So consider going there. You know, the usual cliche applies. Even if it's just a buck or two, that does add up for us a great deal.
Mm-hmm. You can be unto Max.
Yes.
The other thing you can do is rate and review the show, buy things from our store, tell your friends about it, just generally supportive podcast things.
Yeah.
Hashtag. I think that's probably about it.
Think so.
Until next time, who is Guilty Dog?